Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken up from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked the hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Over the past few weeks, I have found myself in conversations that in various ways spoke about the reasons people attend worship or come to church. For many, there is a deep yearning for relationship, for time with people, for being the community of Christ. For others, there is a need for comfort and hope. Being together, singing hymns and songs that are familiar, offers sustenance to forge through the coming week. Sometimes that need for hope is more than just strength for the daily reality of life. That hope is a necessary call for assurance that the faithful are not alone, that God's love is sufficient, that God's promises are indeed everlasting. Of course, some of the younger people may also tell me that they attend church events because, well, their parents make them. Some, well, the expectation is not even articulated. Children just know, right? I recall there being times in my life when singing in the choir helped me to bridge from Sunday to Sunday, spending time on Wednesday evenings in rehearsal. Well, the fellowship is part of it. But part of my weirdness is that singing the various choir songs, which are grounded in Scripture, gave me a way to carry God's word into the dailiness of my life. I suppose that in the midst of all this is the sense that in gathering with the faithful, in singing the songs, in participating in the liturgy, celebrating the sacraments, in praying together, somehow there is the promise that Jesus is revealed. That revelation, one hope, brings light into difficult times, hope in the hopeless times, strength during the fearful times. Then Melinda Quivick reminded me in her Working Preacher article that while the disciples saw light on that mountaintop and they may have been transformed by it, truth be told, it was frightening. How many of us come to worship for the purpose of Jesus' revelation frightening us with new truth? Yet in that mountaintop experience, Peter, James, and John encountered something that was beyond comprehension, and it was frightening. Jesus transfigured, his clothes dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them, terrified them. I think we miss that part in the familiarity of the story. Quivick points out that there is a difference between being transfigured and being transformed. Jesus is transfigured. His outward appearance is changed. His substance, his being, his inner reality is not changed. He has known who he is, at least since his baptism. Remember? The heavens ripped open, the Spirit descending is in the appearance of a dove. The voice from heaven that apparently only Jesus could hear, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In this instant, for these three disciples, the human reality was exposed also to be divine reality. Jesus is not just human, but also God's own Son. And Peter tries to offer a response only to be cut off. A cloud with a voice. God is surely present. For those who know the Hebrew scriptures know that when there is a cloud on the mountaintop, it is a sign that God is present. And the voice interrupts Peter, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. This is." There is no second person you here. Jesus is in the third person. This is. And the voice from heaven points to Jesus, identifying him. Listen to him. Can you imagine? In that instant, the very thing that so many come to worship, hope to receive, happens. Jesus is revealed. God is present. And for good Hebrew people, well, Moses and Elijah is a sign, a clear sign that the long-awaited Messiah has come. We talk of fearing and loving the Lord God in the small catechism. That kind of fear is an experience of awe that drops us to our knees. I have a feeling that this kind of fear, this terror on the mountaintop, so changes the lives of disciples that they start to speak foolishness. In the encounter, though, disciples are transformed, changed. Perhaps that is true for many who gather yearning for what God has to offer in worship, revelation and direction. The voice tells all disciples, you and me, listen to him. And what Jesus tells us is that we cannot remain on the mountaintop. Instead, the faithful are called to focus on and follow Jesus, attend to his mission for the sake of the world, proclaim the reign of God come near, announce forgiveness of sins, work for the healing of all humanity, tend the sick, walk with the poor, care for the hopeless. I recently heard a member speak of their struggle with hope. That one's response was precisely to turn their concerns out to serve others, following the example of Jesus. As the church turns the corner into Lent, may this be a time that reveals the truth of God's love for each one of us, even as we seek to show forth that love in service to all people.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.